And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, May 31st. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. That's right. We're back. We're here. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Please listen to us any way you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Talk to us on Facebook. Darren likes posting a lot of stuff. Talk to him. Tell him what you like, what you don't like, so he knows what he's doing a little bit better. Guys, we are in what we're calling a sports lull for the week. Okay, there's no big golf, there's no horse racing, but there's still stuff going on. NHL and NBA finals are ready to start. We have our finalists. We got Yankees and Mets. We got baseball. We got some other things going on. Let's get it going on, guys. Let's talk about the Celtics. Last we were here, they were down 3-1. They won game 5. They won game 6. They won game 6 in dramatic fashion on a tip-in at the buzzer by White. And then game 7 comes around, and Tatum kind of tweaks his ankle in the first quarter. And from there, it was all heat. Miami's going to the finals to face Denver. Kev, talk to me about some of the Celtics stuff.
Oh, the Celtics have to be kicking themselves. Never should have gone even that far. We talked a little bit last week. Early in the series, games 1 and 2 at home, they played solid first halves, had leads in the first half, and the second half, they did not play well. Problem with them all year, really. You know, with the new coach, a little bit more focused on offense. This was a defensive team before this year. Focused a little too much offensively. Did not play the style of defense Boston has played for the last couple of years. They have these lapses where they could be scored on easily. And that's what Miami did. That's how they stole games 1 and 2. Miami took care of home 3. Boston came back, you know, pretty easy wins 4-5. But again, game 6, never should have come down to a buzzer beater. Boston had an 11-point lead with 4 minutes left. And they choked the lead away. They got bailed out because Derek White is left not boxed out and gets a tip in. But then game 7 comes, and Boston pulled a no-show. I know Tatum's injury was a big factor. Jaylen Brown was invisible most of the series. And after the Celtics got out 9-4, and you're thinking, okay, you know, maybe Miami's dead. But, you know, this team turning around from mid-first quarter to about mid-second quarter, they outscored Boston 34-12. Boston cut it to 7 in the third quarter a couple times, but never anything closer than 7. Miami never sweat, and they put on cruise control and won easy going away.
Are they like a lot of teams in the NBA, but are they just too reliant on the three, that if they are just cold, they're out of the game? I mean, combine that with the fact that it just doesn't seem like they're playing defense for the whole, you know, 6 minutes on the court. I mean,
sometimes you wish these teams would, you know, be willing to take that mid-range jumper, make it a little easier shot for yourself. You know, I think we said it before, half jokingly, but Steph Curry ruined the NBA. Everybody wants to come up and shoot threes, huh?
I never said it jokingly. Not once.
Darren, any thoughts for you on the series?
Well, I'm going to say a couple of things. First and foremost, is one thing out of the way. Who's the best franchise in NBA history? Celtics, correct? I mean, yeah. You know, titles, everything like that. What's with the Vistaprint freaking logo on the goddamn jersey? Enough. Does everybody have to sell out? God damn it, you're the Celtics. You're the damn Celtics. The Yankees don't have to lose my mind. You're the Celtics. Secondly, if there's a more overrated superstar than Tatum, I don't know who it is. Tatum, I know he got hurt in game 7. He disappeared and didn't have at 0 points in several key spots in fourth quarters throughout the entire series. Sorry, you're the star. Get the damn ball. Not blaming him for game 7, but 1 through 6, a lot of it's on him. Number 3, Derek White, okay? Kid out of Colorado, nobody expects much from. He kept them in the game in 7 for a little bit, and he won the game for him in 6. I know that you follow the Celtics more than I do, Kev. You see them a lot more often. You probably have a little bit of a better feel about what this team has. But I'm sitting there watching this team saying, you know, they don't overly impress me as a squad at all. I mean, Al Horford has a moment here or there, but he's spending way too much time on the court. I thought Williams gave him a few good minutes. The big kid out of A&M, Robert, not the kid out of Tennessee. I thought he gave him some nice minutes and bullied it in. But there's no dedication to defense, and the offense is sloppy as hell. Every time they come down the court, it's a three. It's so annoying. You have an 18-footer. You have a 15-footer. Hit the shot. Everything has to be a three with this team. They're so frustrating to watch. I never liked them, so it doesn't mean anything to me. But watching this team, I was like, you know, for the series, really for all the series. I mean, Tatum had big moments, but he also had times where he just disappeared. And, you know, listen, I'm going to go back to our time. But I don't remember a big fourth quarter where Ewing didn't score. And I don't remember a big fourth quarter where Olajuwon didn't score, or Malone, or Barkley. So I can't call Tatum a superstar because he had those games where in the fourth quarter he couldn't get a point. Even LeBron put up points in the fourth quarter. I was disappointed what I saw. The thing I loved, actually, Miami, okay? Caleb Martin, you guys will remember this team a little bit. You know, you remember the Martin brothers that played at Nevada on Musselman's team that got him to the Sweet 16. Now, his brother Cody was drafted. He was not. The only reason he got into the league is because he was working out at some gym with a rapper that knows the guys over at Miami. And then he said, you should give my boy a workout. They went down there. He got a workout. He got the job. Before they give you a workout, they weigh you. Actually, it's a very interesting thing in Miami. Even before they signed any player they ever have, they weigh you first to let you know that they weigh you in every week to make sure that nobody gets off the beaten path. But you look at Caleb Martin, undrafted. Gabe Vincent, undrafted. Max Strus, who had a great career at DePaul. Great shooter, undrafted. Duncan Robinson, had a nice career at Michigan, undrafted. It's kind of like a team that you can't help but kind of like, I don't know if you root for them, but you don't dislike them because there are a bunch of guys that worked really hard to get themselves into the league. So as much as Boston might be a disappointment, Butler was the best player on the court for a lot of the game. And if he wasn't, it was Caleb Martin. To be honest, Caleb could have easily won the MVP, easily won it.
Well, Caleb is amazing. You know, less than 10 points this season per game, 8 points per game for his career. All of a sudden, the Boston series, he comes alive with 19 points per game. Couple, and I think 3 20-point games. He had 4 all year coming into the series. He stepped up and played 1A or 1B to playoff Jimmy there.
I mean, he could have won the MVP. He actually had a better series all around, scoring wise, shooting percentage wise. And it seemed like the series before it was Duncan Robinson that kind of got him through. Vincent had a couple of big games in every series. There were a lot of little things to like. You know, the other thing that scares me a little bit about this team is just as a Jet fan, the little Miami connection now, right? So now we're going to get to the Panthers. We have the Heat. Remember last year, Philly had everybody get to the final. Yep. I can't have Miami getting the Dolphins to the final. I'm not worried about the Marlins, even though anything can happen. But I can't have the Dolphins tearing it up. But if you're willing to throw down a little wager on a team that might get through the AFC right now, if you're going through that city thing like Philly did last year, let the scare the hell out of you, right, Kev?
Yep.
One other thing, Boston becomes the first city to lose a home game 7 in 2 sports in the same year. The Bruins lost at home, and now the Celtics lost at home. You know, and Pat Riley now is, what, 25% of all NBA finals he's been a part
Amazing.
Of. As a player,
That's incredible.
As a coach, and as a front office guy. You cannot question the Riley-Spoelstra combo, because to come in and win these things with these players is relatively impressive. Tatum's got to do more for me to get to the superstar level. That's where I leave it with Boston. Kev?
It was one thing for Spoelstra to win with the big three, with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. But he's done it. He got them to the finals in the bubble, and now he's getting to the finals again this year with much less talent
than
the teams they've been playing.
Yeah.
They went through Milwaukee, they went through Boston, and they went through the Knicks. That's not an easy three spot to go through right there.
And the thing the Knicks were, like I said, I know they went to 7, but I think the Knicks probably played them tougher than Boston did.
Yeah, well, the Knicks played defense. And they had an answer, Jalen Brunson. I think Miami runs into a buzzsaw now, though, because I don't think they had an answer for Jokic. Adebayo's kind of – I don't think he's that good. You know, I don't think he can play with Jokic.
Before he gets to the finals, one other point with the Celtics. They've got big decisions to make over the next 2 years, because with his All-NBA this year, Jaylen Brown is now eligible for a Supermax contract, 5 years, 295, I think it is. He's and the year after, Tatum would be eligible for a 5-year, $310 million. You got to tie up over $100 million of salary in those two players.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else, and that is the NBA salary cap takes a major turn this summer, and we're going to see the impact of it as the offseason starts, because that cap has now, like, tiered. It tears itself out, and if they hit that second tier, they can't do any buyouts. They can't trade draft picks. I mean, it gets, like, super intense, and it's meant to stop them from going over this cap. And if you have two guys making $50 million a year, you're going to put immense pressure on trying to find a roster that you can fill out with only 60. I think it's 60 million at that point that's left, because I think it's going to be around 160 the first year. And if you do that, so you're right. They're going to have some major, major things that they're going to have to work out. So
I don't think both players are max players. Listen, I understand Tatum. You're afraid to let him go when he's still young. I give him the nod, but giving them both. Yeah, I can't say it.
Chances are, though, that Jaylen Brown, someone's gonna get close to giving him a huge contract like that.
Did he impress you much in the playoffs at all, by the way? Anybody blown away by Jaylen Brown in the playoffs?
No, but
especially this past series. He was awful.
I didn't think he was great in the first two either. I thought he was okay.
Here's the thing.
He's supposed to win that series.
Listen, I agree, but here's the thing. If you were to rank all these top players, he's probably somewhere in the 20s. And if he's the 26th best player, for argument's sake, he's one of these teams does not have a player of his caliber at that point.
I'm just going to ask you point blank. If you had a choice of Jaylen Brown or Josh Hart, who do you want?
Oh, Jaylen Brown's a much better player.
Is he a better all-around player?
Jaylen Brown, yeah.
Do you take him over Michael Bridges?
Yes.
I don't. I don't think he's better than Hart either, to be honest. He's a better scorer. I don't think he does as much on the court as Hart does.
I don't think he's
a clutch guy. I don't think he can take a big shot. If this team, for some strange reason, in big spots, has given the ball to Marcus Smart, who shoots about as well as you do, Gino, there's no freaking way. These two guys don't even want to take a shot. Tatum doesn't want to take it. Brown doesn't want to take it. They're not winners.
Marcus wants to take it. He shouldn't.
He just can't hit it. He couldn't hit it at Oklahoma State when he was playing against college guys. He's going to hit it now? I mean, they go to him down the stretch like he's something special. He never hits the shot.
When Marcus shoots over 40% in a game, it's a big deal.
But that's the only guy that has the cojones to take the damn shot.
Yep.
You know, listen, I'm not trying to say Josh Hart statistically is better than Jaylen Brown. I'm saying for the team and the overall and everything that he brings to the table defensively, rebounds, everything else, I'm sticking with Josh Hart. I like the way he plays, and I think Michael Bridges is a lot better.
If you need scoring, I take Jaylen Brown.
Of course. Pure scoring. He's going to score more points per game.
Yep. Now, the Bridges comp is interesting because what we saw last year when we came to the Knicks, is that Bridges coming out? Is that going to be the real Michael Bridges? If it is, I don't see there's that Brown is any better than Bridges. Bridges is going to cost you half the money at most.
I still think Jaylen Brown is a much better player than all these guys you've just named. I think
Jaylen Brown gets the luxury of going up against secondary and tertiary defenders.
Okay.
And I think Tatum gets the best player. I don't think Brown gets him ever. I think Brown's a nice player. I don't think he's that good.
Okay.
I don't put him in my top 20s or 30s. He's in the top 40s for me. I don't think he's special. I think he's good.
Okay. All right.
He's an NBA starter to me. I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong because you both agree the other way. I'm just saying my take is I don't think he's special.
Okay. Let's get to finals predictions.
Kev?
Start it off.
Looking at the series coming up, you've got, you know, the question of rest versus rust. Denver hasn't played in 9 days. They've got 9 full days off between games. One of the things to consider, though, is that they are playing at home. Nobody likes playing the altitude in Denver. What was interesting was one of the stats was, you know, when teams have more than 5 days more rest than the team they're playing in the finals, they're actually 16-10 in game one. And if they're home, they're 9-1.
Yep.
So the rest seems to have been, statistically at least, has helped the team that's coming off the long layoff. I think being in Denver, being that Jokic is playing at another level, Murray has stepped up his game huge. I think in some ways he's been more of a factor than Jokic at times offensively. They've got depth. I don't think there's any way guys like Adebayo or anybody else can guard Jokic. I think Bam is gonna get into a lot of foul trouble. And I've picked against them all year, all playoffs. Maybe I'll finally be right. I think Denver can win this series pretty easily. If they cover home court and split one in Miami, they can win this in five.
Okay.
Darren?
Who are you, G?
I actually agree with Kev. I think this is Denver, Denver, Denver. I got Denver in five also.
Yeah, the Miami team reminds me a lot of the 99 Knicks. Not just because of the 8 seed, but just because of the way they got through. They lost to the Spurs in five. I like Denver in five also.
Wow.
I know it's, I think we're really out on a limb here. I like Denver in five. Last series, they won in four. So I was off on that by a game. Another guy, Jamal Murray, is far better than Brown as well. I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot of guys that I think play that same position that can do the same job as he can. I just think that overall, Jimmy Butler is good, but they are just so small on the front line. I don't think they have an answer for Jokic at all. I don't think they can guard him. Adebayo, I mean, another guy is supposed to be really good. He misses a lot of shots around the basket. Doesn't do a great job of demanding when he gets the mismatch. It's a tough NBA to watch the way they play. You used to have a mismatch, and that's where you went. You remember watching those Knicks-Pacers games? Whenever Mark Jackson on the Pacers had somebody smaller on the Knicks on him, they cleared out all the big guys. Smits is playing 20 feet away, and they would just get down low to the point guard because that was the mismatch. The NBA doesn't do that anymore. Now we just pass it for a three. I mean, I couldn't believe what Miami was doing. They were trying to keep Boston in. I think the series is five at the most. I think that this could be a sweep.
Okay. Kev?
One last NBA point. The Knicks and their GM, Scott Perry, are parting ways. Surprising off a far more successful year than anybody thought this past year. They've got a nice, deep, fairly young team. They've got 11 first-round picks over the next 7 years, so they've got either draft capital or trade assets. This, if they can bring in a big-name GM, this could be a real plum job, I think. And especially if the guy comes in and does something we haven't seen in 50 years, win a title in New York. Somebody's got a chance to really make a killing here.
I agree. One other NBA point. Referee Eric Lewis apparently has a burner account where he was sitting there answering questions on Twitter. Anytime anybody criticized Eric Lewis's calls as a referee, Eric Lewis was defending Eric Lewis. It's just a very interesting thing. It's like, my God, what is going on? Now referees are beyond reproach. Just thought it was a stupid thing. I don't know if it's been proven yet, but they pretty much have several sources that say the burner account is Eric Lewis's account. And, you know, Scott Foster didn't do what he's supposed to do for the Celtics, didn't do what he was supposed to do for the Lakers. His magic kind of ran out. Back to you, G.
All right. Let's move over to the NHL. We have our finals teams. It's Florida versus Las Vegas, exactly the way the NHL commissioner wanted it to start the playoffs. Florida has been dominant for a good portion of this playoffs. Las Vegas has managed to get through. They've played hard. They played strong. They are now through. Took them six games to dispose of Dallas. We have our finals. Darren? Anything on the
other team? Show up at home for a game six? Dallas was outskated. Not just that they gave up goals, they were outskated to the puck all period. That first period, they couldn't have came out any flatter. And Ben was back, and you were like, oh, the emotion in the building. I didn't think Ottinger could do much on anything. He was just sitting there just trying to defend with defensemen that couldn't clear the puck, with offensive players that couldn't advance it out of the zone. I was, I sat down. It was game seven and game six on the same night. And I'm like, you know what? I enjoy the NHL more. I'm going to kind of pin myself to the NHL, put the NBA on the background. after about 10 minutes, I had to switch it because the NHL game became so bad. The NBA game soon joined it. But it started off with the NHL game was that bad. Florida, a lot of one-goal games. After they fell behind 3-1 to Boston, they really haven't been threatened since. They've been pretty dominant all the way through. Just like in the NBA, you have the dominant one seed from the West against the eight seed from Southern Florida. That's just really what it comes down to. But in this one, I'm taking Florida to win this thing. I think that Florida has got a little something going on. I like Bobrovsky's been really good. Matthew Tkachuk has been really good. I know I'm downplaying Vegas, but they've been excellent throughout the playoffs. They beat a Edmonton team that's been a stalwart and really, really strong. And, you know, Dallas just didn't seem to have the firepower for them. I just think the grit of Florida is going to bother Vegas. Again, just very disappointed in the way Dallas showed up at home. They had two games where they got shut out at home big time in that series, and it just made no sense. I'm taking Florida to win that series in the long way. I'm going to say they win it in seven. Kev.
Florida has put together an incredible playoff run here. Like you mentioned, Bobrovsky during the playoffs, 2.21 goals against average, .935 save percentage. He's been lights out. But what's interesting is since he replaced Brisbois.
Aiden Hill's been good.
Aiden Hill is even better than Bobrovsky, 2.03 goals against and a .937 save percentage. Vegas has 62 goals in 17 games. Florida only 50 in 16 games. So I think Dallas's offense has been clicking a little bit more. Florida, I think, plays a little close to the vest. Is willing to play those one-goal games. They've had a magic ride from Tkachuk, who, you know, had notched three game-winning goals in the semifinals. But I think Vegas takes it in seven.
Ooh.
G.
I think Florida has gotten too hot. And I think game one tells the story with this series because they had to wait a little bit before Vegas finished their series. If Vegas comes out and they're a little flat to start game one and Florida jumps out to a lead, I think this is all Florida. Could be quick, but I'm going to say Florida in six. I think they're just way too hot right now. I like the way they played. The goalie's been just unbelievable. And the style they play kind of fits to what Vegas plays also, which is they're going to play these close games. It's not like they're going to come out and outscore you, you know, 4-1 in the first period. I like that style of play for Florida. I'm taking Florida in six, guys.
All right. Kev's the lone wolf on this one. We all had to.
At least we had to be different on one pick out of the six.
Well, I mean, it's very hard to like the Heat over the Nuggets.
Yeah.
The Nuggets look like world beaters in the playoffs so far.
But the NHL, another thing here, you know, they finished up Monday night with game six. Both teams now have 5 days before they play game one Saturday.
It's the same thing.
Full layoff. And Florida, because they swept, they just like Denver, they have 9 days off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Florida's been hot, but does this cool them off? I'd be more worried about the eight seed on a playoff run getting cooled off than the best team in the West and the NBA and Denver getting cooled off.
See, my whole thing on that is that the NHL is a little bit of a different animal. The difference between the eight and the one seed is very different usually in the NHL than it is in any other sport we watch, whether it be football, baseball, or basketball. I just think that for some strange reason, there's a whole bunch of stupid little things that the difference between the 20 points. I mean, the Bruins were out of this world this year, so you put them in a different stratosphere.
Yep.
And Florida beat them. So it's like, I know what you're saying. I mean, on paper, if it comes down to a scoring matchup, Vegas has more scorers. They just do. I just think Florida's a little bit more physical.
Yep. And like your point was, I think we've seen historically more 8-1 upsets in hockey than in the NBA too. So, yeah, that just proves your point about how much closer those 8-1 matchups really are than the NBA.
Well, especially in hockey, because the goalie makes such a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
You get a hot goalie, and it can carry you, which is a lot of what Florida is doing right now.
All right. I mean, you remember even watching Islander teams back in the day, not the championship ones, but the years where, like, Ray Ferraro goes off and he's scoring goals every other minute, and they beat Pittsburgh. And, you know, NBA, I go back to 99, comparing this team to the Knicks, because that's the other 8 seed I remember. I mean, there's a couple others, but it's rare, you know? Yep. It's like, you know, it just in hockey, I mean, even like the old, you know, Casey and the North Stars getting through to a semifinal. I used to have that kind of stuff from time to time. Different sport.
All right.
I was going to say one other just discussion on a local team. Are the Rangers ever going to hire a coach? It's over 3 weeks. We're coming up on almost 4 weeks since they fired Gallant. Laviolette, it seems to be the front runner right now. Now they've got permission to talk to the ex-Nashville coach Hines. What are they doing?
I think it's going to be Laviolette. I'd be surprised if it isn't. I don't know why it's taking so long. It doesn't make much sense. The NHL, you know, I mean, you know, I thought Gallant had a pretty good run there. I was a little surprised that they got rid of him so easily. I just don't think he and Drury got along. We'll see. But I'd be stunned if they don't go Laviolette. I think Laviolette is... He's a winner. I mean, listen, if you hate the Rangers like you two guys do, you don't want to see Laviolette behind that net.
No.
Behind that bench, I should say. You know, because he knows how to get a lot out of his team. He's a good coach. He did a good job with the Islanders. He's a good coach.
Absolutely. All right, let's move over to some baseball. Before tonight started, the Yankees are 34-23. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The Mets are 28-27, 6-4 in their last 10. Kev, want to talk a little Mets to start?
Do I have to?
You don't. We can move to Garrett. Let's start with the Mets.
Every week it's the same old story. They are not consistent. They go 2-4 on their trip against Chicago and Colorado. Their offense finally comes alive, yes, in Colorado like they should, and the pitching doesn't do well, especially the weak part of the bullpen. I know, Darren, you've been complaining about the Yankees bullpen all year. The Mets bullpen, once you get by the top two or three guys, you know, when you've got Leone and Nogozek and Brigham and guys like this, it's just painful.
I hate your bullpen too.
I am going to tell you something, though, and that is I've been looking at a lot of bullpens around the major leagues.
They're all this bad, huh?
This seems to be a very big trend that other than having one or two guys you can count on, maybe a third guy in that group, it's basically a lot of crap after that. It's
the Dodgers, the Braves, and then everybody else, I think. Those are the two teams that stand out to me anyway with their pens.
Yep. The biggest positive, I think, for the last week for the Mets is Carlos Carrasco.
He's back.
Tonight, another 6 innings, 1 run against the Phillies. Pitched well last week against the Cubs. Maybe the elbow was bothering him early in the year. And that's why he pitched so bad the first couple of starts out there. All you're asking for Carrasco is if he can give you 6 innings, 3 runs, 4 runs, keep you in the game. That's all you want. From Carrasco.
No, I got news for you. That's not all you want. As a Mets fan, the only thing you want is him to stay freaking healthy.
I want six.
You need to get 6 from him every time now because that bullpen sucks, just like the Yankees. The Mets bullpen is better because at least you have a guy at the end that you feel like can win a game for.
Just stay healthy. That's what you need out of him.
Yeah.
To me, a bright spot's been Lindor, actually. I know his average isn't there, but he's been hitting some clutch homers.
Yep, got 40 RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
But the lineup, Buck, Alvarez has been giving me some power from the 9 spot. Why'd you move up to two? Why is he not batting 5 and protecting Pete? Well, I mean, you've got two rookies playing. The other night you had two rookies playing. You had Alvarez and you had Vientos.
If we get into a lot of the baseball statistical analyses, the 2 spot is really where you want a lot of those guys. Hence why Judge.
But he's not a 350 hitter, G.
But all right, let's put the defending Major League Baseball batting champion 2. They'll get them all up there.
One comment to you, Kev. Yep. You've been defending Buck since 1994. The fact that you're finally off of this bandwagon is stunning to me. I've been criticizing Buck since 1994. And I think he's a great manager. I just always back then I thought he was too following up the numbers. Now he's an independent. He's not a 350 hitter. I mean, listen, he's not a 300 hitter. He's a 260 hitter with power. He doesn't bat two. He bats five.
You
move McNeil up. Just let him play. Another guy hitting a little bit right now is Escobar.
Yeah.
He's starting to hit. I would actually bat Beatty second just a little bit if I wanted to move somebody up on the younger side, just because I think he could do some things.
Yep. He's got a little bit better back control there. I feel like he can put the ball in play a little bit better. Vientos got a couple of starts in a row, but now he'll be back on the bench because we have to play Vogel back for some reason. So we can watch, Vogel back look at 15 pitches a night.
I haven't seen a guy look that good in the uniform since CeCe used to wear the bright orange one for the Indians. I'm saying Indians because they were the Indians then. I know they're the Guardians now.
They'll always be the Indians. You can't go back and rewrite Major League.
Yeah, I agree with you.
One of the big bright spots, obviously, for the Mets is Alonso, who's at 20 right now, just knocking balls way out of the park right now.
Yep. And then, like I said, Alonso, it's Alvarez, who great month of May. And more impressively, it's been the work behind the plate. He has looked so solid back there, especially when you factor in he's only 21 years old. He's looked so good back there. And I know I was reading the stuff. Why is Nito playing tonight? Well, guess what? Here's where I'll defend Buck.
He has to play once in a while.
You've got the game tonight. You've got the game tomorrow afternoon in 90-degree weather playing Philly. You don't know what your regular's going to sit tomorrow in the afternoon. So you put Nito in tonight. You put Alvarez in tomorrow, maybe to strengthen the lineup if there's other guys being rested. This one makes sense.
And there we are. The one thing I'll say is Met fans really reach hard for this behind-the-plate thing with Alvarez. Nobody gives a shit about the defense anymore. He's fine. He's solid. You bring it up every week. He's good. Hey, listen, there's nothing to worry about. It's like you guys expected him to be a complete butcher back there. He's not a butcher. He was not that much of a butcher. From what I read, I heard he was below average. I never heard he was horrible.
I always heard below average. He's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of work to do. Well, he's come up, and I've seen that, he's fine back there.
I mean, you got to remember, catchers don't have to call games anymore. Now they call it from the freaking dugout.
Yeah, he's not Gold Glove. He's not Gold Glove catcher. He's no Johnny Bench back there. I mean, don't get me wrong.
But he doesn't call a game. No catcher calls a game.
Yeah, but like I said, I think it's just the fact that he's back there being solid. He's not letting balls get by him. maybe they've got a low bar defensively. He's no Gary Sanchez.
I got you. I Met fans have been like amazed and overwhelmed by how great he's been behind the plate. I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's good. He's fine. I don't know. I mean, I didn't think he was going to be that bad. I guess you guys really had a feeling that he was going to be a butcher.
That's what I think we all expect the worst.
I never read that he was a butcher. I just read he was below average a little bit in his overall, frame of the game. But
below average and inexperienced.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid. I don't know. The Mets are turning it around. They're only a couple games. What are they, 4.5 out, something like that? They're closer than the Yankees to first, to be honest
with
you.
That's not the Yankees' fault.
No, it's just that the Rays got off to an amazing start. Robertson closed out tonight's game, so there you go.
Mark Hanna with the big 4 RBI night.
Yeah, been a 4-1 win.
All right, let's move to the Yankees. Darren, I'll give you the floor to start. I got some comments, but I'll give
you the floor. I'm going to make two comments. One is going to pick on you right away. LeMahieu's playing pretty good, huh, G? I'll start off with that because LeMahieu's been playing real well. He's been hitting the crap out of the ball.
The last 10 days, the whole lineup's been hitting the ball.
Yeah, but LeMahieu's been the guy, except for the last two games in Seattle. He kind of carried him through the Padres series. You can't take it away. The fact that I have to watch Clark Schmidt in a couple minutes is enough to make me throw up.
Well, LeMahieu on the season's hitting .243, so I can't tell you he's clobbering the hell out of the ball. I'm sorry.
He's been hitting better. You can sit there and say whatever you want because you don't like him. He's been hitting better. Bader, can he stay freaking healthy? Every time I love the guy, he gets hurt every time. And without Judge, this lineup would be nothing. He's the only reason why everybody's hitting. He's got 18 homers, and he hit a stint on the DL. He'll lead the league in homers again just because he's Aaron freaking Judge. They took the first two in Seattle. Really impressed with Severino's first two starts. He came back looking good. Herman came off of his suspension. The guy that's been struggling has been Cole. last two starts, which you don't expect. Just like the Mets had with Verlander over the weekend, which you don't expect in Colorado. Cole and Darvish had the bad pitchers matchup in the San Diego Yankee series, while everybody else was throwing zeros at each other in the Severino Waka game. So, you know, you don't expect it to go that way. Overall, the offense has been better. They've really been clobbering the ball. Tampa got off to a really good start. Yankees will get to play him a few times. We'll see what happens. The whole division is solid. Baltimore looks like they're not going anywhere. They're getting better pitching than I expected. But, you know, key here is going to be that by the end of the week, we're looking at getting Canley back. We're looking at getting Donaldson back. And most importantly, we're looking at getting Stanton back. They could all be back for the Dodgers series. All three guys come back. It offsets the Bader thing a little bit. Canley can only help that crap bullpen they have.
And Rizzo should already be back by Friday.
Yeah, I would think Rizzo, just get another day or two rest, and then the lineup's back.
Well, that's good.
I mean, they're playing well right now, so you got to like what you're seeing. Go ahead.
So last 10 days, they are hitting the crap out of the ball. The last 10 games, they're all hitting the crap out of the ball. Can't take it away. But much to your point with these guys coming back, it needs to happen soon because tonight's lineup is ridiculous, okay?
I know.
Torres hitting 268 and Judge hitting 303. And then it is the cavalcade of guys that Gito goes crazy about. Willie Calhoun hitting third at 257. LeMahieu hitting fourth at 243. Kiner Falefa hitting fifth at 243. Jake Bowers hitting 226. Volpe hitting 198. Higashioka hitting 214, and yes, Greg Allen hitting ninth, hitting 273. I got nothing to say.
Well, here's what you can say about Greg Allen. The Red Sox actually were willing to give him back to the Yankees. That's how much they like Greg Allen. Volpe's 198. He still hits a clutch homer here and there, and he runs the base as well. I'm okay with it. I can live with it. I know that it bothers you. It doesn't bother me. I'll let Volpe play all season unless he falls under 150. I'm fine with it. Everybody else sucks in that lineup. I agree.
The Volpe thing is interesting because this is the type of guy that years ago you used to kill me for liking. These guys that hit 200 with home runs and stolen bases but can't hit the hell out of the ball. This is the guy all you did was kill me for. The same type of guys like Kyle Schwarber, and we'll keep going back if you like. I won't. But those are the same guys used to kill me for
life. Why did Kyle Schwarber steal a lot of bases? Where was I that year?
Kyle Schwarber was
stolen bases 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year he had a decent run. He's not as good as Volpe on the base paths.
Who said he was? I didn't say he was. But
you said this is the guy you killed me for. You compared him directly to him. What do you mean you didn't say he was?
This is the same type of guy that you always used to kill me for. But listen, they're playing well. They're playing well the last 10. They picked them up a little bit. They're hitting. Seems to have come around a little bit. It's a bunch of guys I really don't want to see in that lineup. But right now, I don't have a choice. I have to watch Bowers, and I have to watch Calhoun, and I have to watch Greg Allen. And it's just, I can't wait to get some of these guys back. So,
gee, I can honestly tell you, I really don't care if I ever see Donaldson play a game. I mean, I want to see Stanton back. I don't really need to see Donaldson. I really don't. I know that he'll play as soon as he gets back. He hasn't impressed me at all as a 10 years a Yankee. I don't need to watch him. I know we want his bat back, but his bat hasn't been much.
Darren, if you told me he never played another game as a Yankee, I would be okay with it. I just don't want the 243 hitting fourth of DJ LeMahieu.
He won't be, though, if everybody's back healthy.
Well, Stanton comes back, he bats four, and Rizzo's there in the three and right behind. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to change with Rizzo and Stanton coming back. And Bader. I mean, really, I mean, it's just scary because Bader's one injury away from me saying, okay, he's Jacoby Ellsbury, and I really can't have him. And I love watching him play. I haven't enjoyed watching a Yankee play this much in the outfield in forever. I mean, he's that much fun out there. He's all over the place. He's got that New York mentality, that blue collar kind of thing that you love as one of your guys. He reminds me of a former Met. He reminds me a lot of Dykstra in the way he plays and the reckless abandon. More so than any Yankee, he reminds me of a Met. And that's something that you love on your team. Only he's not, you know, he's not white trash, and he's not, you know, he doesn't have a drug problem and a gambling issue. He's not using roids, but it's still the same type of play when Dykstra first came up. You know, that's what I see with Bader. But we're an injury away from saying, is he Jacoby Ellsbury, and is he never going to play? That's the scary part, G.
Listen, I hear you. I hear you.
Because I love watching the kid play, man. It sucks to see him get hurt again.
A couple of things in baseball. Arias is hitting .376 still with the Marlins, which is just ridiculous right now.
He's the last single hitter allowed left in baseball.
Yeah. Absolutely. And two teams that are playing really well coming out of both the NL and AL West. The Texas Rangers at 35-20 and the Arizona Diamondbacks at 32-23. Just teams that I actually picked in the preseason, but just out of nowhere, these teams are playing like, I mean, Texas is just hot as hell right now. So
no, I picked Texas to win too. I did not have Arizona. You guys had Arizona.
I don't know if they're going to sustain it, but it, you know, 55 games in, these teams are looking really good.
I call it the Bruce Bochy factor.
Anybody have any other baseball points?
I think I was more impressed by Tampa over the last three and a half, 4 weeks here. We all talked about how they got off to the great start, and their schedule was so bad. And I said a month ago, 23 games against the Yankees, Orioles, Mets, Brewers, Blue Jays, and Dodgers. And they survived. They went 13-10 against that stretch of good teams. I think the 13-10 against that schedule more than backs up the start that they had playing the dregs of the league. And it took a long time for me to believe in them, but they've convinced me. I know that's important to them.
I think that the Orioles have been the most impressive team to me. I didn't expect them to really hang in there as much as they are with their pitching. Yeah. Without Means, who was supposed to be their best guy. I think Baltimore, Gunner's been really good. Rushman, or whatever you like to call him, Kev, he's been excellent.
Hutchinson.
I couldn't remember his new name. But Rushman's a star. And Gino said it right away. Gino's like, this kid's a star. You didn't exaggerate one bit. You called it immediately. I mean, we all read about him, but you were like, no, this kid's a star. And I remember you saying that because he is. That Baltimore team with guys that I don't really know. You know, Wells coming in with ERA under three, you know, guys like that that you're not expecting to do great. You know, that's the team that really stands out to me in the American League as a team that's just been a little bit better than I expected. Them in Texas, obviously. And the National League, I was kind of on what you guys talked about before with Arizona. San Francisco, who I thought was going to be a dog with fleas, they're above .500. I mean, I'm not saying they're playing great. The Marlins and the Giants are both playing pretty well, though. And, I got to give them both a nod for being as competitive as they've been. They don't have a lot of talent on either one of those teams.
Yeah. Yeah. And as suspected, both central divisions, you know, the NL Central is five teams separated by five games. The AL Central, the top three teams are separated by three games. And one of those teams in the top three in the AL Central is not the White Sox, which we kind of thought was going to be a good team. So, you know, I think those divisions are going to be going on for quite some time before
the Tigers are hanging in there, is what you're saying.
They are. Listen, they're playing really well. They got a lot of young kids. They're playing really well.
I'm rooting for them to stay competitive. It's fun to watch a new team play well.
I think there's a lot of comparisons between the Tigers and the Orioles right now. You know, you got these two young teams. I think the Tigers are probably a year behind where the Orioles are, but, you know,
at least one.
Same kind of thing. I think the same thing, though. Both teams are going to need a couple of starting pitchers to really make any kind of push to anything. So,
gotcha.
All right. That's it for baseball for tonight. Darren?
Just a quick golf point. Michael Block had the tournament of his life 2 weeks ago. He got the invitation down to Fort Worth and finished dead last. So I guess it just came right back. He didn't make the cut. He had the worst score of anybody over the first 2 days. I hope he enjoyed his 10 minutes of fame. I hope he plays well in the PGA next year. Hope all that stuff happens for him. But reality set in, and midnight came for Michael Block. He was the worst golfer in the tournament this week down in Fort Worth.
Yep.
Kev, I know you had a football point, Kev.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, still trying to figure out where's DeAndre Hopkins go. Saleh came out today and said, no, we're good with our receiver room. We like the guys we have here. Don't you want him over Corey Davis?
I want him over everybody except Garrett Wilson. How about that? And I actually, he's better than Garrett Wilson, too. I'm just saying that because I like the kid because he's young.
Yep.
Everybody's saying Kansas City and Buffalo are the two teams. There's going to be a dark horse team emerge. I put it up on our Facebook. I actually think if the Giants went out and made the move for him, he takes that team to a different level. They would have the all-pro tight end, the all-pro wide receiver, and Saquon. Then, you know, because the Giants are one of those teams that is better on paper this year than last year and has a good chance of having a worse record because the division's better and the schedule's harder. I mean, Washington's far improved. I know you root for the Commanders, G. Dallas, you know, if healthy, can be better, and the Eagles are still going to be solid. It's a totally different world. Plus, they play the AFC East, which is a different animal than that they played last year. So, you know, I think the Giants would be a perfect landing spot. I'm hearing things like the Lions. You know, all of a sudden, everybody loves the Lions. They're playing opening night of the NFL, and they're going to get DeAndre Hopkins. You know, he could. They could. We'll see what happens.
Listen, yep. Hop, it's a great question because Hopkins is a difference maker. He is, you know.
And a happy 80th birthday to the greatest quarterback in NFL history. All right, I may be a little biased there. Joe Willie turned 80.
The worst statistical quarterback in the Hall of Fame, but our guy.
He
revolutionized the sport.
If he can lead the Jets to the Super Bowl, he deserves to be number one.
I agree. just one of the points, so Tom Brady owns part of the Raiders now. Is that what I read?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah. So he'll be firing the other quarterbacks and stepping in no time. And then the Jets had a little bit of turmoil last week. Johnson and Becton both came out and criticized the medical staff. I don't know if that means that Becton is not long for the team. Johnson's already released. I'm not sure what it means for Becton's future if he comes out and rips the Jet organization. The thing about Becton is he's played, what, like no snaps in 2 years? So, I mean, it's not like we really count on him for much. Hopefully he plays this year, but we'll see. It's kind of all I had in the NFL. Any other points, guys?
Not pretty quiet right now.
Two other quick things for you guys. Today, midnight, is the deadline for everyone that entered the NBA draft from college to decide if they're going to withdraw or not. Literally 10 minutes ago, Zach Edey has gone back to Purdue. Drew Timmy has gone back to Gonzaga. Adam Bona has gone back to UCLA all today. It started off with 196 people entered from college plus 48 international players. We'll see how it shakes up. But for a lot of these college teams, they're sitting there biting their nails to see if their guy's coming back or going pro. Like Sonogo from Connecticut and Jordan from Connecticut, they're both staying in the draft. So there are some guys that are staying in. We'll have a better idea tomorrow of who exactly stayed in and who didn't, but midnight becomes a really big bewitching hour for all these college programs as they will be hitting the transfer wires as hard as they can if they don't get their guys to come back. G?
My guy, Drew Timmy?
From what I understand, he's coming back. So for his 19th season at Gonzaga, it's pretty impressive. Most guys don't do that for 19 years.
Only Brian Cardinal had a longer college career.
Well, yeah, but Brian Cardinal was bald by the time he came out, but not like not like me, but like typical bald spot stuff, which is really impressive. Boxing, I brought it up 2 weeks ago. Another big fight just got booked this week for July 29th. You got Bud Crawford, Terrence Crawford, 38-0, 29 KOs, going up against Errol Spence Jr., 28-0, 22 KOs. Undisputed welterweight championship of the world. That means the 147-pound weight class. And they already have the rematch in the contract. And if they split, there'll be a trilogy on this. But they'll both move up to 154 after this fight or the next fight. This is kind of an equivalent to watching Mayweather fight Canelo in their primes. This is that good a fight. These are guys that really don't get touched much, but they're more entertaining. It's not like Mayweather where he sits there with that defensive garb and smacks you a little bit and then runs away again. These guys will mix it up. If you have the opportunity to watch it, this is one of those fights that you will want to see. Again, Bud Crawford at Omaha, Nebraska, where he gets a little bit of support from Warren Buffett and usually fights at home, and Errol Spence Jr. So these are two really, really good fighters. And I had one other point, I think. Oh, the Belmont. The Belmont 12 horses are in the race. It was 13, but King's Barnes is scratched with colic. So now we're down to 12. Six from the Derby, just so everybody knows. So Tappet Trice is in there right now, the second choice at 7-2. Angel of Empire, 4-1 shot. Hit Show, 15-1. Reincarnate, 30-1. Raise Kane, 30-1. Some Thunder, 30-1. We'll go into the horses more next week as the race is a week away. Forte is scheduled to run in this race. Hasn't run since the Florida Derby. He's right now the morning line favorite, 3-1. National Treasure, who won the Preakness, is 6-1. Arabian Lion, Archangelo, and Prove Worthy are three horses that did not run in either of the first two races. They are also in the field. So and Red Root One is the 12th horse running out the field to finish fourth in the Preakness. So we'll see what happens. We'll break it down for you with speed and closers and all that stuff next week. But six of the 12 horses, this is a pretty big field for a Belmont. Belmont doesn't always see 12. Belmont usually doesn't even see double digits. So Belmont's usually 7-8 horses because the mile and a half does scare people. So it should be a great race. A lot of good horses in this field. Should be a lot of fun.
But no Mage.
Mage is not running in this one.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're just down to 12. It was going to be 13. By next week at this time, it could be down to 10. You never know who else gets scratched. But who comes up sick, lame, or doesn't look like they're working out well and they don't want to waste the money. It's just the way it rather goes. So that's all I had, G. Anything else for you?
No, that's it.
Kev?
Nope.
So for a record here, we're under 52 minutes, which, you know, for us being under an hour is pretty impressive. So we have 8 minutes to spare here. But we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin, with Gino. We're talking about the wonderful world of sports. Please, like Gino pointed out in the beginning, you know, we put a lot of stuff up on Facebook. Like it, but share it as well. Please try to get the information out to other people. Let us know what you want us to talk about more of. Let us know what stuff we're talking about too much, you know. But listen, share the stuff, and communicate with us. That's really what we're looking for. And, you know, download our podcast anywhere you can get your podcast, whether it be an Apple product, TuneIn, you know, Spotify, wherever it may be. We're available. We're there. We're 47 episodes into this thing. We are feeling good about it. So without any further ado, may your sports be with you.